And this is the Taney County Commission. We're back from recess and scheduled for 11 a.m. It's 11 a.m. The one order of business that we did not conduct that's carryover from this morning was BOE general discussion. The first and primary point that the county clerk has asked us as secretary of the board to define is what day we will begin with BOE hearings. We're going to be sworn in, as I understand it. Did you not say July 6th?
June 6th.
June 6th. I'm sorry, June 6th. My recommendation would be, gentlemen, that we move this forward, which is almost a full month, from what regular BOE hearings are, because this is a year of reassessment, and we start on that day or someday very close to that.
In the past, a move by the legislative body in Jeff City to allow you to start 2 weeks on assessment years, 2 weeks prior to the
July date. Isn't it the July date?
I think it's the July date, but it was 2 weeks prior to
right.
Whatever date you start your meetings, and it was because of assessment years. And James would know more about that. I thought it was the 17th of June that we started meetings.
Last year?
Not last year, year before last.
I can tell you.
I have a file on BOE, which contains those statutes. I don't have it in front of me. But, Jim, if you go to either Chapter 138 or 137, you'll find that.
Okay.
I think it's 138.
I guess what I was just going to chime in is that I've decided that I'm not going to pursue discussion with having changing the format of the board. I'll just stick to the three commissioners, two. So I know that we were talking about who is going to serve. I'm convinced after talking to citizens that I thought would want to serve, they really don't want to head the problems that go along with a reassessment year. So the people that I was hoping that would serve because of the volume in the past of cases, they aren't willing to serve only because the time commitment. It's not because they don't want to serve. It's just the time commitment is going to be large. I mean, we'll probably see 2,000 to 3,000 cases. So anyway, I am not insistent on changing the format. I'm good with sticking to three commissioners and two citizens. Both those citizens' term expired December 31st of last year, so we have to appoint two. I wanted to point out that June 8th or June 9th is a BOE training session in Springfield, so that we want to make sure we have appointed those BOE members so they can go to that class that the State Tax Commission puts on.
It's very helpful to Bart Fishner. I imagine we'll put it on like he did last time.
Probably. Missouri statute, what was it again, Ron? 100, what was it?
It'd be I think it's 138.
Is it? Okay.
Chrissy, is Donna here today? I wonder if you might get word to her to let us know what's the first day that we could have BOE hearings. 010, she said.
090. Let me go to the entire. I had 010 up right here, so let me go to the entire chapter here. 090. First class county meetings, okay? First class county shall meet on the first Monday in July of each year. There was, Danny, so it was the first Monday, but there was then a further. By the House or by the legislative body to move it 2 weeks forward after that. So let me look at the first official date and give us a... The first Monday of July is July 4th. 2 weeks prior would be June 20th.
Is there not something in the statutes that sets a firm date? For some reason, I thought it was the 1st of June. Mm-hmm. I understand what you're saying legislatively, but
it was the first
the tax
Monday of
commission has Linda, would you do me a favor? Would you ask the assessor if he has a firm date on what the State Tax Commission has allowed as the beginning date for Board of Equalization hearings?
I'm certain.
Thank you. I'm amenable to whatever that date is, but if we could do it earlier,
absolutely.
I think that we need to.
What I'd like to do is, I think last time, Danny, we did Tuesdays and Thursdays. We made Donna fill up the Tuesday first, and then we went Tuesday, Thursday, Friday is what we did.
Yeah.
Friday was the absolute last resort, but we had to make sure Tuesdays and Thursdays were filled up, starting at like 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
And then so we could get some county business done between, if it's 7:30 and 9, then go to BOE session from 9, take an hour lunch, recess around 4, and that gives us an hour at the end of the day if we needed to conduct any more business.
Make votes on decisions.
And make votes at the end of the day. So a lot of times we table decisions because they were stacked every 15 minutes on the 15 minutes. What I'm thinking is we do Tuesday, Thursdays, and Fridays. There's some dates in there because meetings we've got scheduled out there that we'll have to. We can't have every one of them, so.
Morning, James.
Good morning.
Are you aware of a starting date, beginning date that the Tax Commission has said that on years of reassessment we can begin BOE?
Yes, and we're not going to meet that date. The June 4th date, I think you guys...
Well, it says the first Monday of July is what the statute says.
But the date of what he had just mentioned on June 4th or 6th is the statutory date, I think, first Monday in June, we have to be sworn in.
Right.
Right?
First Monday of June, we have to be sworn in. The first meeting is the first Monday of July, is what
it
says.
And it'll be up to that point.
But wasn't there legislators give us 2 extra weeks and said we could start 2 weeks earlier?
We could, but, Jim, with the flooding and all the things that I'm going to have to work out and do, I don't think we can get to that deadline. I think I'm going to need the full... My statutory deadline is the first day of July to turn the books over. Has moved to that date.
Your first day is July, not May.
It's not the 15th of May any longer.
Okay, I didn't know that. I thought it was 15th of May. So the books aren't turned over until when, do you think, now?
First day of July.
First day of July.
And the last day for BO hearings, if I'm not mistaken, is July 31st.
That's correct.
I had thought there was leeway that was given to begin, and I heard what you said, to begin BOE prior to... the first Monday in July.
There is.
And what is that day? Do you know?
First week in June, I believe, you can do it.
And that's what I thought. Do you know if that's in the statutes, or is it just an edict from the Tax Commission?
No, I've actually got that time frame printout up in my office. I'll furnish you guys.
I'm not ignoring what you said about the time you need to get ready. I was just trying to get those dates positive.
Before this hit and everything and... pulling our time away in the State Tax Commission, I was fine with it. I was going to close it by May 15th, and we could have met. But due to all this, I can't get it done.
So, I mean, James, here's the question then. So people really don't even know what their assessed value will be until July 1.
Our increased notices will go out next Tuesday.
Okay. But decreases, there's no notice given.
Right.
And so if they don't feel like it went down far enough, which there's some people are going to be like that, they won't know that number until July, right?
That's the conflict with the statutes.
Yeah.
They've got huge conflicts with the new statute.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, on the newscast that I saw last night, there was a huge meeting with Greene County residents.
That's correct.
Because of an increase of 25, 30%,
right.
100%. I mean, it was a huge meeting.
Yeah.
Well, so they've already sent their notices out, obviously.
They've sent their increase notices,
okay.
Yes. And we haven't sent ours because, well, we've new construction done, we're seeing a 2% increase in new construction and probably a 2% loss in reassessment. So combined with the 2% loss. So we're going to be pretty flat. That's what we're hoping for, is just flat. And that's what I had relayed to the schools back a year and a half ago for this reassessment cycle.
But that's going to change potentially with different assessment based upon losses in the flood?
Right. We've seen losses in the flood totaling $16 million, which would be equal to about another 2% loss. And that's not getting them all. We just gathered up the north of the main bridge going into Branson Landing Bridge, southwest turn in the river there, Port Royal, Acacia Club, and the railroad track properties. That's not counting anything at Rockaway and on down the river.
Would you have time to do me a favor of finding that date for me that's allowable to begin? And then, not that that's what we're going to do, I'd just like to know.
Okay.
Well, I thought you said that you... No?
I've got a diagram with the new statutes. I think you're the one that came up with that date, Ron, that was in the statutes.
And I've got a file upstairs. I can take time and run and get that.
I'll go get that little diagram for it and leave it here for you. I can have it.
We can also establish this date later today. We just need to let Donna know. And if we're not going to begin until the July date, then we're really going to be crunched for time.
We'll have to put a schedule.
Your
timeline is July.
Our timeline by statute is the first day of July to turn the books over.
Okay. Well, then we don't need to be established in some of our BOE sessions prior to July 1st because they don't even know what they'll be assessed until that. Right?
Correct.
So that will allow you any time for your adjustments through your office, does it?
No.
That's really amazing.
They've got timelines. It's just, and the legislators have been aware that this is coming up.
That didn't make any sense.
We're just going to clear July and then. I know there's some traveling we're going to do in July, so we're just going to have to block those times, and everything else will have to be postponed for July. That's all we can do is just...
Let me ask you this. Is there a need for additional personnel? Is there a need for anything else that might facilitate? I'm talking about because of the flood and the additional work that you have to do there.
Well, just personnel on the ground. We're actually would be working for the FEMA end of it. We're not working for the assessment process, but we've still got to determine what kind of taxation decrease.
When you say the FEMA end, that's you and
right.
P&Z that'll be working together on some of those issues.
Height of water inside houses, height of water from the first floor of the houses, and all that stuff. We're gathering that now.
Okay.
And then we've got total destruction on four or five parcels where it just ripped garages out of off of the houses and stuff like that. Hmm. I'd advise you guys to just go down and look. If you haven't seen.
I've been down.
It was an eye-opening experience to see huge deep freezes floating around in different rooms. They're not even where they're supposed to be, inside the houses. Water lines at 77, 78, and 96 inches is what I measured personally yesterday. And it's amazing what water has done. But the timeline, statutorily, is July 1st. I told you guys May 15th, but we just can't make the May 15th deadline and get all our notices out and give people.
Well, then we don't have to make a decision today then based upon what day we're going to begin.
Nope.
And that's what I was rushing for, so.
Okay. I'll get that.
Thank you, James.
I'll get that diagram.
We need to set a date for when we're going to be sworn in, though, don't we?
Yes, it's statutory. It's going to be on the
June
6th.
Okay.
And thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Do you want to go ahead, gentlemen, and make this discussion regarding the makeup of the board, or do you want to do that later? We need to get on with.
Yeah, we've got
P&Z and with Linda.
Well, this is going to take like 2 minutes. I'm hoping, Right, Linda?
That's correct.
Linda, do you want to come up?
You can stand at the podium if you'd like, Harlan. That way it'll have a microphone for you. Gentlemen, I met yesterday with Harlan Collins and Randy Hayes with Road and Bridge. And we discussed two bids that we have open that we'd like to award today. The first will be culverts. This will be a one-time bid that we do. We get the order together, and this is our culvert bid for the year. We had five vendors respond to this. The lowest bidder was Vbrock Sales. After reviewing it with Harlan and Randy, we would like to make the recommendation that Vbrock Sales be awarded the bid. And then the next in line was Contact. And all we are asking for is that there was some type of reason that when we contacted Vbrock, if they could not complete this order as they said they can, then we could be able to call Contact and let them be the second. But this is not, again, not a yearly bid. So we weren't sure if you wanted to award that as primary and secondary or just go with the primary.
And that's the lowest two prices it looks
yes,
like
sir.
On the ground.
Yes,
uh-huh.
sir.
I'll move that we appoint a primary vendor for the culvert bid opening to Vbrock Sales, LLC, and our secondary to Contact Construction Products.
I see the price of the culverts that's in the bid. Does that include delivery?
Yes, sir.
On-site, different sites?
Yes, sir.
To the shops, each shop. They'll split them up, put them in each shop.
Okay.
I'll second your motion. Man, they're close. With that many quantities, it's close bids.
Very competitive.
Yes, sir.
Yep. Motion's been made and seconded to award the bids for culverts to Vbrock Sales, LLC as the primary and with Contact Construction Products as the secondary. Discussion, gentlemen?
The only thing that I would ask, and I know you guys went over it, is you got a certain amount of culverts that are more in use and throughout the county than other sizes. And I guess you considered all that as you went through your
yes,
process.
Sir.
All right.
This is a general restocking of our culvert supply getting very low.
All right.
Boys, I'm looking at every single one. They were the lowest. And
mm-hmm.
Any further discussion, gentlemen? All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. All opposed, nay. Motion carries unanimously.
Next, gentlemen, we have the bid for de-icing, which will consist of rock salt and liquid calcium.
Thank you, ma'am.
On the rock salt, we had three responders, Bingham Salt and Gravel, Gunther Salt Company, and Oakley. I've got the prices laid out. We've asked for a quantity of 2,000 tons. Bingham Sand and Gravel was our lowest bidder at $73 per ton. I always put on the column at the
far right.
End right there at the far right the difference between last year. That was an increase of $4 that they went up from 69 to 73. We always, gentlemen, ask that we have a primary and a secondary on this as well due to the fact if for some reason Bingham Salt and Gravel could not deliver the rock salt, then we could go to the next in line, which according to price will be Gunther Salt Company.
Okay.
I also see a liquid calcium. So you're wanting to award also at the same time Scottwood Industries is the primary for calcium?
Yes, sir.
And say Calico as your secondary?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Mr. Harlan, do you have anything to say before I move?
This primary and secondary is good. That way it would eliminate if the primary couldn't instead of having to go through the rebid process.
Great.
And very, very good.
All right, here it goes. I'll move that we award Bingham Sand and Gravel as the primary rock salt provider and Gunther Salt Company as the secondary. Additionally, Scott Industries as the primary liquid calcium as the primary vendor. And Calico LTD as a secondary liquid calcium provider.
Does that, I'll second your motion for discussion. Does that leave us open if we decide to have salt storage or in these, and we increase the quantities?
Yes, sir.
Would it be a different?
It's an estimated quantity is what we've given them. So if we order more, we still have it at that same price. It's guaranteed for a year,
okay.
The prices that they bid.
Because we've talked about that the last couple of years about locating a storage area.
I think we're storing some over at the barn right now, aren't we?
Yes, sir, we are.
At the Mount Branson barn?
Yes.
Okay.
Motion's been made and seconded to award the rock salt to Bingham Sand and Gravel as primary, Gunther Salt Company as secondary, and the liquid calcium, Scottwood Industries as the primary, and Sokolko LTD as the secondary. Discussion, gentlemen? All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. All opposed, nay. Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you, gentlemen. Have a good day.
Going back to the BOE discussions just briefly, we were provided that timeline. It absolutely looks like we got to conduct most business from the 5th of July, no later than the 31st, because BOE non-chartered jurisdictions ends business. So we have basically from the 5th to the 31st is our span. The problem is we're probably not going to get a whole lot of people on the 5th because they won't see anything.
Well,
let's increase
with this chart, Donna. That is an old chart. It is no longer on their website. And the training that we went to for BOE, the State Tax Commission informed us the statutes are out of sync because for first-class counties, they didn't set the correct date. And so statutorily, we have to have our first meeting on the first Monday in June. And you can see the deadline for the assessor attorney's books over. So they didn't correct the statutes when they redid them for first-class counties. So I believe we had a memo that came down from the State Tax Commission that suggested that to resolve the inconsistency in the statutes, the Board of Equalization should set a time period for all of this to happen. And that's what we've done in the past.
That memo that you're talking about, it's recommended 2 weeks earlier last year, and we set the date at, I'm almost sure it was the 17th of June.
I mean, but the key here with the flooding and the assessor's comments,
yeah.
He doesn't have to have the books done until July 1st. We can set all the dates we want in June, but there may be nobody coming because unless the increased people come, but the books aren't even going to be turned over until July 1, so really, there's no reason to even have a meeting until the books have been turned over. Is that correct, Danny, Ron? I mean, as I understand, or should I ask Donna that?
Well,
it really doesn't make any difference. It's going to be hard to hold meetings if we don't have values to go by.
Right.
You're absolutely right, but just telling you, you're putting yourself in a crunch position where you're going to be meeting for 8 hours a day every day of the week.
I understand that. And I've been there.
Well, 2 years ago, it was pretty crazy.
And we started in June. But
the books got turned over that year. In 2009, they got turned over on the 15th of May.
Yeah.
And that's the recommendation from the State Tax Commission. I understand James has got a real issue. I mean, the flooding has caused him to send his people back out to reevaluate. But if he turns his books over early, and I'm not sure if he's willing to do that, but if he turns his books over earlier, then as they make those adjustments, at least we can proceed.
Now, well, so that you know, we were just told we're not going to get them early.
Yeah, he just told us.
And I wondered, though, if there's part, if we could receive partial books. It's something we'll sit down with him and chat about, if that's all right, you gentlemen.
Feel free. I mean, I know we're still scheduled for June 6th to do the swearing-in and have a BOE session just because by statutory we have to have that.
That's technically your first day of meetings. And it's not just the swearing-in date. You're required by law to hold your first meeting on that date. That's why I'm telling you the statutes are out of compliance. You've got this that sheet right there telling you the first day is
reality is there's not going to be a whole lot of business conducted that first day because we don't have books.
Agreed.
So we may adjourn shortly after we...
shortly after we're sworn in.
Yeah, but I think, Ron, if you want to talk to James and
well, we'll see what.
Try to understand the timelines better because I think what we're going to do is clear July.
Yeah, if I understand right, that even has been pulled off their website now. It's okay. Not even there anymore because they know it's not in compliance.
That's wonderful.
I appreciate it.
Well, that's beautiful. Donna, we had the discussion about the educational class that we're going to do. We're going to name them. Try to name the members later, but we want them to attend this educational class in Springfield. So we'll have that taken care of, and personally, I don't know how we're going to do this.
It's a little bit more level of difficulty, that's for sure.
Well, my suggestion is going to be, gentlemen, if we're not able to start until the 5th, that we have a half day of county commission meeting each week, and that we have 4.5 days, and maybe Saturdays for BOE during the month of July.
Mm-hmm. Well, or when you say days, we go right up into the evenings.
I meant 12-hour day, whatever it is, whatever it's going to take, we're going to have to do it.
Okay.
Well, we'll start working with our calendars to start clearing meetings and get you some possible dates, but I don't see any reason not to have it. July 5th could be their first date, but once again, the books had all just been closed. But we'll.
Now, that is going to put me out of statutory compliance with the political subdivisions within the county. I have to have their reports to them by June 1st. They get their first valuation reports on June 1st. So I'm not sure how I'm going to be able to do that if I have no information. That's what I'm saying. This July.
My suggestion would be to send a report that says you have no information to give them a report on.
And they're all going to be out of statutory compliance.
I understand.
Okay.
Can you see any other possibilities?
Yeah, turn the books over earlier.
Yeah, not going to happen.
Okay.
You can't turn them over if you ain't got the value of them.
I understand. It's going to be problematic, but we're going to have to work through it.
I think you guys probably have this, don't you?
Right here?
I think so.
It's the same one?
Yeah.
You want to take
it? Yes.
Yes.
In color?
My little eyes don't work so good on that. Thank you for bringing that.
What I'm saying is that we just all, the bottom thing, you just do what works. With the situation, they understand that due to Syndicate 11, all these things won't work, and we've got flooding, and everybody just pulls together and
gets it done.
Does what works.
Well, bear with me. Hold on for just a second, Sheila. And help me with my dates. Political subdivisions have to have their levies by, is it September 1?
I think so.
Yes, September 1. Political subdivisions have levies.
The deadline for BOE hearings is the 31st,
correct.
So we can also, in my opinion, since this has happened to us, perhaps extend past that. I don't want to.
The 31st?
It says it ends. That's what it says on.
Yeah, it ends, and then I think, doesn't the clerk give the total, those final totals to the political subdivisions, and they have time to set their hearings in August, so as long as they have a time span to set their hearings.
Right. I think that's the main problem that we have.
My point was we have to go an extra week of extra days or whatever and then send the information, let them know well in advance. Here's where we're at, here's what's happening, and you're not going to get this till such and
well,
such
I mean,
time.
But the reality is if we had some evening sessions, we would actually appeal better to some of the citizens because they could actually make it. So I don't see a real downfall to going longer in days.
Okay.
It would be harder on us, but it actually would make ourselves more available to the citizens.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, we're committed, as you know, from the 15th through the 20th, so we're
yeah.
strike those from the calendar. Because
yeah, I'll
a lot of those dates, gentlemen, as you know, have sat there 6 years on this thing. If those call-ins that we make...
Thank you for this.
...that are... If we can arrange the call-ins that call in from out of state and have all those in one day, it would sure beat our waiting on a call and then having to wait on somebody else that's got an appointment later. There's several different things we can improve the system on.
Well, I think that it's going to be a different type of BOE this session from previous sessions. I just really believe we're going to move much quicker.
Do you understand what I'm saying about the call-ins?
I do.
You do, don't you, Jim?
Yeah, we need to give a more specific direction to the clerk as she's scheduling things to make sure that we've always got maybe even they're scheduled every 10 minutes versus every 15, so it... We can.
We're not waiting on a call in, and we're not letting that person sit out there in the audience for 15 to 30 minutes
right.
while we wait on a call in that's not here. If we can get it scheduled to where we have those call ins on one day, and the people that's actually waiting to come forward, sitting here. I mean, there's several things we can do to improve what's taking place.
Right.
Go ahead.
How many hours yeah. we've got here? Because I can calculate how many sessions we've got.
Well, my point is that there are a number of people that have already called in, and I think even though if we start earlier, that's great, let's go ahead and have the clerk start booking the 5th.
Well, what I'm saying is we really don't want to do before 9 because we still got to conduct some county business, and what we did was we would have a quick hour meeting every day because we couldn't have a full day dedicated to county business, so we would do an hour a day and then switch gears and go into BOE.
At
9
o'clock.
You mean an hour a day for county commission work
yeah.
each day?
We allowed it because there's always stuff happening. I mean, we're giving up two. Right now we operate Mondays and Thursdays, and those days are pretty full. Business is still going to go on, so we're going to have to be able to at least have some time to block for county business.
Okay, well, let's...
Let me come up with some suggestions.
I will also.
How about, can we table this? Maybe I can come up with something later on this today? Or would you rather just do it next? Well, we'll just repost. Maybe I can give you something on Tuesday, guys, for our meeting, because Monday's a holiday.
Again, I'll tell you what I'm going to suggest. I'm going to suggest that we book BOE all day. If you feel we need an hour each morning for... County Commission, make it from 8 to 9, start BOE at 9 o'clock, and run it until 8 o'clock at night. It makes no difference to me. I just think that we need to take care of it.
I'm fine with it, other than the fact that we have so many calls that don't come in when we think that they are too. If we can make it adjustment in the way we prepare the meetings.
We won't take phone calls except a given day and time.
How's
that? Yeah. But we scheduled it last time like that too. We just need to give some more better direction to the clerk as to improve our use of time.
Now, who's got that set up? Is that Christy last year? Is that you?
You get it this year?
Okay.
Christy, can you sit with me? We can't do it later today because we're booked today.
Yeah. Tuesday. Tuesday is pretty
cool. Tuesday? Following our meetings just to sit and chat about this and possibilities, and I'll talk with a couple of other counties as well. Gentlemen, let's move on.
Hey, Bob, you get 25 whole minutes of our time.
Bob, and I apologize because this is important and we need more time than what we're giving you right now.
We're going to have to reschedule.
And we will rebook you, too.
But the National Day of Prayer, there's a ceremony at noon that we want to make sure we get to. And so we're going to have to reschedule after. I mean, we're not going to get through everything, but sorry.
I understand.
Okay.
So I'm glad to see you. I didn't even know that you were on staff.
Ouch.
Because you've been so busy. Good morning, good afternoon, good morning.
Good morning. I didn't know, do you want me to kind of begin with, I just basically wanted to give the commission a status report. Of course, this is the beginning of my fourth week with the county.
Could I get you to do me a favor?
Yes.
Could you pull the microphone a little closer because they call people call in and say they can't hear.
Okay.
Thank you very much, sir.
Yes, this, like I said, this is the beginning of my fourth week with the county as the planning administrator. And wanted to, of course, as James Strahan, the assessor, had alluded to earlier, we've actually spent quite a bit of time over the last week or so doing some preliminary damage assessments. We've been going out to the Foggy River Road area. We have to assess, and at some point FEMA will contact us, and we'll have to make assessments with FEMA as to the damage of these structures, whether that damage is more than 50% of the market value of the structure. And so we've tried to go out. We're trying to get some photos of those type of things. Right now, just we're trying to be as proactive as we can before FEMA actually contacts us. We want to make sure we have as much information as we can get on each home. We've been taking photos inside and out of a number of these properties, but I think one of the key things I wanted to talk to the commission about today.
Pull it closer, Bob. We're starting to get complaints already.
Okay. Was the
pull it right real close.
Real close.
Okay.
It's real. It's not
okay.
That
just a soft voice.
Was from my understanding, you know, we're looking at eventually making a transition from a performance based system of zoning, as is currently found in the Taney County Development Guidance Code, to a more traditional form of zoning. And I guess I just wanted to kind of run through what I saw as the steps in that transition, and I just wanted to see if make sure that I was on the right track, that I was looking at this correctly. What my thought was And I didn't know the commission's feel on this, to be honest with you. I just wanted to put it out there and be transparent. One of the things that I feel like we need to do at some point is to update the master plan. We've got a master plan that was put together in 1999. Of course, we should have 2010 census data pretty soon. And I really feel like we could update that master plan, but along with that, I have already begun drafting some very preliminary zoning regulations and subdivision regulations. I'll be completely honest with the flooding and everything else. I haven't made a great deal of leeway in the last 3 weeks or so there, really. And of course, as you know, I was the planning administrator in Christian County over the last 5 years, and what we started with in Christian County was actually holding public meetings, public input meetings on the comprehensive plan. We approached it basically trying to put out surveys to evaluate what the public saw as the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities and threats were to the county, and I've given each of you, and this is just what we did. At that point, we basically held public meetings, and we could split it up any way we wanted to, but there we split it up into four different categories. We looked at economic development, quality of life, environmental concerns, and transportation. But one of the things that the citizens told us through that process was that they felt that the regulations needed to be updated. Basically, from there, of course, we'll begin preparing. My hope is to begin preparing both a master plan update with kind of a future, very generalized land use map. And when I say generalized, I mean very generalized. I'm not thinking parcel specific. I'm just thinking when we make this transition to a traditional form of zoning, it's always been my understanding that the first zoning map has to be based on the existing use of the land. And what the way this normally works is you also have a future land use map, and thereby you make a lot of these rezoning decisions based on this future land use map. And it can be very, very generalized. I mean, it doesn't have to be parcel specific or anything else. One of the things, of course, that I feel like will be essential, I really feel like the best approach to the zoning map is for that initial zoning map actually just to be a layer within the GIS. And of course, the planning department will have to seek the assistance of the IS department in developing this preliminary zoning map. The advantage we've got is they've already put together kind of a preliminary land use map. And really, that should be a good starting point, you know, being able to take this land use map and basically converting that to a zoning map. Because, like I said, the first zoning map is pretty much going to have to be based on the existing use of the property. A lot of people ask me what the differences are between a performance-based system of zoning and a more traditional form of zoning. With a performance-based system of zoning, if you want to propose any type of use on your property, you have to seek approval for that specific use. With traditional zoning, you have the ability basically to seek approval for a specific zoning designation like C1 commercial or C2 commercial, and then you would be able to basically put a use on that parcel of land that fit within those designations, that fit within and so in a lot of ways, it actually gives people a greater level of flexibility. It gives landowners and a greater level of predictability as well. Of course, one of the biggest things is statutorily, we'll basically have to have a total of 8 public hearings, one public hearing at each political township. Then we'll have to have an advertised series of public hearings in front of the Planning and Zoning Commission, and then finally a recommendation to the County Commission, you know, for all these regulations. And I mean that's kind of the process in, you know, in general terms or very broad terms. I guess part of what I wanted guidance on. I know we definitely want to get these regulations, amended as in a timely fashion and in as timely fashion as possible. I wanted to see what the commission's feel was as far as updating the master plan and some things along those lines as well. I feel like long term, the traditional zoning will function much better if we at least have, even if it's, again, very, very generalized, but just a generalized future land use map. And like I said, when I say generalized, it really wouldn't even be parcel specific. It would just say, well, we foresee this corridor as a future commercial corridor. but it wouldn't get down to the parcel level where it showed, you know, we see this parcel as a future commercial parcel. It would just be fairly generalized with road information. And part of the reason for that is we just didn't want to get that parcel specific with an initial zoning, set of zoning regulations for this future land use map, if that makes sense.
The master plan's probably may cause some more confusion and stir, but I think you're right. They need to be updated together.
That's my feel as well. That honestly is my feel.
But, I mean, I hear what you're saying. You're going to keep it very high level on the master plan, which I agree with. I mean, really our focus is P&Z.
Yes.
The code book. So I would say as long as all you're doing is updating the existing plan.
Exactly. And a lot of that will be basically putting in the new census data, the 2010 census data, updating all the population stats, all the basically updating all the stats in the master plan. But then part of it also is seeking the citizens' input as to what they would like to see for the county in very general terms, but that's normally a part of it as well.
So to answer your question from this commissioner, yes, you're on the right path of how I see it. So you can have some feedback.
Now, one thing I did want to bring up is... One thing I just wanted to clarify, too, is, of course, right now we will have to operate under the development guidance code until we make it through this public hearing process. And so what I've been working on has kind of been twofold at this point. I've wanted to make sure that I'm completely familiar with the current regulations and the current processes, but I've also been trying to transition those at the same time. My hope was to maybe possibly take a day a week or a certain period a week and just do nothing but work on the new regulations at some point. Just sit down, lock myself away maybe one day a week and work on those, basically.
Bye-bye. I think it's really important. I'm surprised when you said that the traditional actually gives more flexibility to the landowner in moving or making changes. So that's a surprise to me. And I think part of the process needs to be a real slant towards education.
Yes.
If you can educate me so that I can better understand.
Okay.
I'm not the only one within the county that needs to understand what you're doing as well. But
yes.
While I may have a lot of questions, there are also a lot of others that have a number of questions. So as we go along, if you'll keep us educated as to how we're getting to a certain point and why, in fact, that we'll be in a better position once we get there, I think that's going to be very helpful.
I agree with you. I agree completely. Let me give you an example that just kind of illustrates this a little better. I don't know that I did the best job of explaining this. An example that I used quite frequently was right now, if a person wanted to build a restaurant in the unincorporated county, they would seek approval of a Division 3 permit for a restaurant. With a site plan for the restaurant and all the things that are required to construct this restaurant, then they would seek approval of a Division 2 permit to build the restaurant, which requires a posting and a public hearing in the office as well. Under a traditional form of zoning, once a piece of property was zoned, and I'm just throwing designations out. I mean, we don't have designations at this point, but if it was zoned a commercial designation, like maybe C2 commercial, that designation would have a list of uses associated with it. And once something was zoned commercial, that person would just obtain some type of permit, normally administratively in the office, to actually construct the restaurant. One of the issues we got into quite a bit previously with Christian County was we would have somebody that would seek approval, using the restaurant example, they would seek approval for a restaurant. The restaurant would sell within 2 or 3 years, and someone would look at purchasing the building and utilizing it as a clothing store. In many instances, that required another public hearing process because they were changing the use of the property. Where really with traditional zoning, once something's commercial, once it's this designation, it's always this designation. And so in a lot of ways, I really feel like traditional zoning actually gives a number of property rights back to the individual property owners. I really think in a lot of ways, it actually gives more flexibility. One of the things I'd really like to look at is having the ability to propose what they refer to as a planned unit development. And a planned unit development is actually, you could actually seek things that don't fit within any one zoning district. Some examples of this might be if we had a proposal where a developer wanted to propose smaller lot sizes, potentially they could if they dedicated a percentage of the development to open space or green space. And so that's another area where you can actually build a little bit more flexibility into your regulations.
Let me ask you something. If you, in your discussion here, if you had a residential zone and, or if you had a commercial zone and its current and present use was agriculture, that doesn't have any effect on the taxation of the particular area, or is it? Do you understand what my question is going to be?
I do, and that's one of the common questions. My understanding has always been that the assessor, and I don't want to speak for the assessor, but it's always been my understanding that the property assessment is based strictly on the use of the property. So even if we had a situation where we had a piece of property, it had highway frontage, the property owner decided that they wanted to rezone the property commercial, it's my understanding that the taxation on the property would not change until they built a commercial building on it, until they actually started utilizing it for a business. And that was one of the biggest concerns that came up in Christian County, is there were a lot of people that thought at the front end that if they rezoned their property, that would automatically impact their taxes. And my understanding is that it does not, and until they actually start utilizing it for business.
That was part of a conversation I recently had with tax commission members, and they shared the same.
Okay. And that's
because
always been.
I asked a number of questions, and that was one of them.
That's always been my understanding.
Before we go on to the next thing, I think we're going to have to reschedule.
Okay.
Just so we can make it over there by noon.
Yeah. Well, you've got some stuff for us to look over and read here anyway, so we would have more questions after we get some of this read and.
And this was pretty, I'll be completely honest, it was fairly generalized. I just wanted to, and part of it was just for my own use even, I just wanted to lay out, these were some of the things I saw as basic, just general steps to making this transition in these regulations, basically.
As, and just a closing thought on to to before we recess. We had several issues as we as commissioners tried to go through and change because they were very confusing to the public.
Yes.
It's kind of like reading the statute book. You refer back to such and such before you can make a decision here. Are you going to make, whenever you do your revised comments, are you going to look through there and see where those conflicting areas are and try to make it sound? I want to make it user-friendly to the public. My main concern is the public's user-friendly reading of the adoption of whatever we...
Definitely.
We got time on Tuesday, so I'm going to have Nikki. We may have some time on Tuesday to bring you back.
Okay.
It looks like we've got a window in the afternoon.
Okay,
maybe
great.
Right after lunch, possibly. I want to double check before.
Okay.
If not Tuesday, then on Thursday.
Yeah.
Well,
but Tuesday would be
sooner.
That would be great. Just really quickly, and I don't want to keep you, but one thing along the lines of what you brought up, just for an example, right now in the Taney County Development Guidance Code, there is a section that deals with road standards. Well, we have an entirely different set of road standards, and I don't know that the two conflict currently, but I just think it's unnecessary at this point for us to have to speak to road standards in this book when the Road and Bridge Department already has a separate set of road standards. So there are some areas that we could definitely simplify and clarify.
We look forward to that time that we can establish with you. I apologize for cutting into your time. And yes, you're on the right track, Bob.
Okay.
To answer Jim's question
earlier.
Thank you
so much.
We are going to recess. When we come back into session, we're going to have a motion to go into executive session, so we won't come back to regular session the rest of the day.